We'll come back to order.
So you finally get to
okay,
speak.
We are back on the record, and it is 11:30 a.m. Central Time. We are planning to break at noon, between noon and 1 for lunch. So, but we will begin with this next witness and see how far we get. Mr. Norrell, please identify your witness.
Thank you very much, Judge. The next witness would be Dr. Carl Pavlik.
All right.
He is testifying to PSC exhibits 4 and 5. I will note that this is out of order from the proposed witness list.
Should I restate everything?
That's fine.
The exhibits will be kept the same, but the witness, the order of witnesses is a little different due to logistics this morning for the witnesses.
Okay, then to back up, is he testifying to exhibits 4 and 5 or 5 and 6?
5 and 6.
Thank you.
Sorry if I wasn't clear on that.
All right, thank you. All right, do you have a witness opening statement that you're going to present?
I would ask Mr. Pavlovic if he has any corrections to add to exhibits 5 and 6.
Yes. Excuse me. I have some typographical corrections to...
Let's place you under oath first. All right. And please pronounce your last name for the record.
Pavlovic.
All right. Please raise your right hand. I know you've been here and heard me instruct as to penalties for perjury. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you. All right. I believe Mr. Norrell asked you if you had corrections to exhibits PSC 5 and 6. And can you give us those now, please?
Yes. This is to exhibit 5, my direct testimony. And while I'm not dyslexic, in my testimony, managed only once to get the acronym correctly for the transmission cost recovery. That was its first incident. So I would like to tell you those corrections. And all of these corrections are replacing TRC with TCR. The first of them is on page 5 at line 12. The second is at page 6 on line 13. The third and fourth are on page 19 at lines 13 and 16. On page 21 at line 13. On page 22, lines 17, 27, and 28. And on page 23, lines 4, 5, and 10. I also have two typographical corrections to Exhibit 5 on page 19. And the first one is at line 3, and I would like to insert between the words charges and purpose for the. And on line 9, I'd like to strike the only occurrence of the word of and replace it with the word or.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Norrell?
Do you have any other corrections, Mr. Pavlovic?
No, I do not.
With that, then, I would like to hand out Mr. Pavlovic's opening statement and seek admission of this as PSC number 19.
Okay. All right, and by stipulation, the opening state witness opening statement is admitted into the record as PSC Exhibit 19. Thank you. Mr. Norrell?
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Pavlovic, would you care to read what you have in front of you for the record?
Yes, I will. My name is Carl Richard Pavlovic. My testimony addresses, on behalf of the Commission's advocacy staff, the assertions and proposals in this proceeding by Northern States Power regarding its North Dakota jurisdictional and class costs of service, rate design, and proposed transmission cost recovery tracker. In my testimony, I conclude that NSP's jurisdictional cost assignment methods and procedures are, with the exception of the use of a 12 coincident peak demand allocator, appropriate and in accordance with the principles enunciated in the NARUC cost allocation manual. The 12 coincident peak demand overallocates system costs to the North Dakota jurisdiction. I also conclude that that NSP's class cost assignment methods and procedures are appropriate and consistent with the NARUC cost allocation principles, and that NSP's proposed customer class revenue distribution is cost-based and reasonable. While the class cost study does not directly support the current rate structure, NSP's proposed modifications to the rate components, moving customer and demand charges towards full cost recovery, are appropriate and reasonable. NSP's rate structure, however, is overly complex and the tariff is virtually incomprehensible. Finally, I conclude that NSP's application for a transmission cost recovery rider does not comport with the statutory requirements for Commission consideration and lacks a demonstration that the costs proposed for the tracker meet the criteria for inclusion in a tracker. There are 13 generally accepted methods for the allocation of electric production costs and 6 generally accepted methods for the allocation of electric transmission costs. The primary factor considered in selection of an allocation method is cost causation, as reflected in the planning and operation of an electric utility's production and transmission facilities. The primary drivers, metrics of cost causation on electric production and transmission facilities are demand and energy. Selection of an allocation method consists of determining which method best reflects the utility's actual system planning and operation. My testimony provides explanations and illustrations of each of these points drawn from the NARUC manual. In my testimony, I assess the 12 coincident peak demand allocator that Northern States Power uses to affect its jurisdictional allocation of production and transmission costs and recommended that NSP use a single coincident peak demand allocator. My assessment is based on my review of cost allocation and system planning documents and other information provided by NSP in testimony and discovery. The 12CP method is considered appropriate where system monthly demand does not vary significantly or where the utility plans and operates its facilities so as to maintain equal reserve margins, LOLPs, or other reliability index values in all months. As regards variation in monthly peak demand, NSP is a strongly summer peaking system, and there is considerable variation in its monthly peak demand. As regards equal monthly reliability indexes, there is in the documents and information that I reviewed no indication or explanation that NSP plans and operates its system to maintain equal monthly reliability indexes. In fact, other than statements that NSP uses this 12CP method to allocate production and transmission, there is in the documents and information that I reviewed no indication or explanation that NSP plans and operates its production and transmission facilities to anything other than its annual system peak demand. In addition, there are allocation methods explained in the NARUC manual that are designed to account for timing and cost differences among baseload, intermediate, and peaking production facilities. NSP does not use any of these other allocation methods. For these reasons, I conclude that 1CP is the appropriate method for allocation of NSP's production and transmission costs to the North Dakota jurisdiction.
Thank you, Mr. Pavlovic. You've been in the room for the testimony over the past 2 days, have you not?
Yes, I have.
And you've indicated on the record in testimony there have been some issues that have arisen that you would like to address, and I have informed the other parties of this. Could you please briefly address those in the sake of moving this along expeditiously towards cross-examination?
Yes, I can, and I will. I have four. It's a mixture of responses and agreements with previous previous testimony. The first of these is that advocacy staff supports NSP's proposal to move the PPA issues to a separate proceeding on the fuel charge. Second, I agree with Ms. Hoyer that my proposed allocation adjustment should be applied to the test year adjustments as well. Third, I recommend that the tariff revisions and alignment of the class cost study would be most efficiently undertaken in a collaborative process. And fourth, if the broad outlines of NSP system planning and operations presented in Ms. McCartan's, Mr. Brockett's, and Mr. Wishart's testimony the last 2 days are correct, I can say that it is likely that neither the 12CP nor the 1CP allocation method is the most appropriate method to use to determine NSP's North Dakota jurisdictional costs. Rather, one of the energy weighting or time differentiating methods should be adapted to NSP's actual system planning and operations. I would like to amend my recommendation regarding the allocation method to be used in this proceeding. I recommend that the Commission adopt the 1CP method for the purposes of this proceeding and direct NSP to develop and use in its next rate case a demonstrably accurate allocation of NSP's production and transmission costs to its North Dakota jurisdiction.
Thank you. The witness is available for cross.
All right. Thank you. At this time, Mr. Johnson, you may cross-examine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Can you bear with me just a moment, please?
Certainly.
Dr. Pavlovic, I'm going to have just a very few questions for you, and the first few questions pertain to the NARUC manual, which you have included as an exhibit, and fortunately it appears our versions tie out by way of page reference. I'd like to direct your attention first to page 22. At the base of the page. And I would ask that you read into the record, simply for convenience, the first two sentences of that last paragraph, starting with "this manual only." Can you see that?
Do
you
see Yes, that? I do see it. This manual, excuse me, this is at page 22 of the 1992 NARUC Cost Allocation Manual. This manual only discusses the major costing methodologies. It recognizes that no single costing methodology will be superior to any other, and the choice of methodology will depend on the unique circumstances of each utility.
And I would like to then direct your attention to page 39 of the manual.
I'm there.
And this will take me a moment to find the reference point for you. It's in the middle of the first paragraph, in the line that starts with the words "maximum peak approach." And if you could read the next sentence into the record, again, simply for convenience. This is the one that begins over time.
Yes, I'm examining the context. Over time, it became apparent to some that hours other than the peak hour were critical from the system planner's perspective, and utilities moved towards multiple peak allocation methods.
And then at the base of the page, if you could read that last paragraph.
If the utility bases its generation expansion planning on reliability criteria, such as loss of load probability or expected unserved energy, that have significant values in a number of hours, then the class's demands in hours other than the single peak hour may also provide an appropriate basis for allocating demand-related production costs. Use of the multiple hour methods also greatly reduces the possibility of atypical conditions influence the load data used in the cost allocation.
Now, Dr. Pavlovic, when you put your testimony together, were you aware of the prior North Dakota Commission cases that discussed the CP allocators?
No, I was not.
Would you agree with me that for at least the last 20 years, the Commission has consistently applied some version of the 12CP to NSP's cost allocation?
It's my understanding that that is what happened.
Would you agree with me that the Commission has also expressly rejected the use of the 1CP for NSP?
It's my understanding that that is under the circumstances in which that determination was made. That is what happened.
Your Honor, I do have a portion of an order that I would like to have again read into the record for convenience purposes. I'm not sure whether our protocol is to now mark commission orders or whether I can simply provide one to the witness.
You can simply provide one to the witness, cite what's relevant, and the commission can take official notice of its own order.
Thank you. And somewhere here I have copies for the parties, too, for convenience. If you'll bear with me just a second, I'll find them.
Thank you.
Here they are. My apologies for the delay.
That's fine. All right, I believe everyone has a copy. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Dr. Pavlovic, I've had handed to you a copy of Findings of Fact, Conclusions of Law and Order in case number PU-400-91-112. And that pertains to a Northern States Power Company electric rates proceeding. You see that?
Yes, I do.
I would ask you to turn to page 8 of that document and paragraph 6. And I would ask you to read that into the record, please.
The 1CP method, the 1CP method focuses on the size of the single largest annual system peak. The Commission previously found that this method ignores the demand costs that off-peak customers impose on the system. We continue to believe that 1CP is inappropriate.
Now, in the context of the commission having expressly found that the 1CP is inappropriate and having applied a variant of the 12CP for 20 years, wouldn't it be more sensible for this commission to apply the 12CP now, even if it concludes that some other system should be used perhaps in the future?
Well, it would certainly be consistent with precedent if they were to do that. On the other hand, of all the various factors that the commission should take into consideration in selecting or adopting a cost allocation method, the primary one should be cost causation and the current circumstances under which NSP operates.
Thank you, Dr. Pavlovic. Your Honor, I have no other questions.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco.
Well, I had a slight variation of that same question. If in your opening statement you did say that based on what you heard in testimony that you would say now that neither the 12CP nor the 1CP is the correct one, and that's why you would recommend that the commission order the company to develop an appropriate one for North Dakota. Did I hear that in that summary?
Yes.
Yes. So I was going to ask, based on the fact that you're kind of concluding 1CP is not necessarily the right answer either, why change while the company is directed, if the company should be directed to develop one, why change to the 1CP from what has been happening for the last many years while a new one is being developed and reviewed?
The short answer is that I believe requiring the 1CP method in this application will provide the company with the proper incentive to develop a more appropriate allocation method.
And might it have some of those offsetting consequences of, like, not setting your rates correctly, your whole revenue requirement correctly, that we were just talking about with Dr. King and whether the ROE is the correct number or not? Might it have that consequence also to switch now, even if you're recognizing that there's not a basis to switch in the methodology? There might be a basis in the motivation, but not in the methodology. So would not the revenue requirement component then would be skewed, which would contribute to the company not being able to earn whatever its allowed return was?
The revenue requirement that the commission sets, my understanding, under the traditional regulatory model, is intended to provide the company with an incentive in order to operate its system in such a way that it can recover its costs. It's entirely possible that switching to the 1CP might underestimate the revenue requirement for NSP for its North Dakota jurisdiction. It's also entirely possible that the 12CP method is overestimating the revenue requirement.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see if we can get a try to complete this witness before we break for lunch. Commissioner Fedorchik.
Mr. Pavlovic, could you take a minute and explain some of the simple features about a few of these methods, say the 1CP, the 12CP, and you mentioned a couple other in your testimony, some of the other methods that account for different system design. Talk about just a few of them, that both the 1CP, the 12CP, and one that might be a future consideration, and what system features each of them are intended to be used to support. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Because I went to rate school, believe it or not, and people talked about this in a way that you could really understand it, and I haven't heard that in the last 2 days on this particular issue. Like, what 1CP is used to, for this, 12CP is used for systems like this, and there's these other methods. All of them are designed to account for certain things, and I think that would be helpful to get our brains around a little bit. Some of the features of how North Dakota is, what kind of a system we have, and how this cost allocation method would be used to effectively relate to that.
All of the 13 methods are more or less precise ways of recognizing that a customer, a group of customers, or a jurisdiction may have a differential impact on different parts of the company. Well, we're talking production. Production capacity. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, it's the demand that customers make for the capacity that drives the decision. So that is what the company is trying to do with all of its operations system planning. The peak methods, all of the peak methods, they're which is one of the three categories. They basically assume that there really isn't much difference in the demand of different of individual customers, of individual aggregations of customers, and or of a jurisdiction like North Dakota. The single peak assumes that there really is no differentiation in terms of the time on the system that various customers' demand is impacting the capacity. The multiple peak methods make various assumptions about basically the time. About the demand that customers make when they make this demand for capacity, and try to differentiate that. As a general rule, customer demand can be differentiated depending upon the season, and that's the whole point of the multiple peak. Is to try to capture that in some way. So that's basically what the single peak and the multiple peak methods are trying to get. They're trying to make assumptions about the way the system's operated and the way that, well, assumptions about customers' demand, the time and when it occurs, and the company's response to that demand. There's a second class of methods. They're called the energy weighted method. That basically assume that these differences in the timing of the demand the customers make can be measured and estimated by looking not only at the capacity demand that the customers make, but their total consumption of energy on the system. And that's why they're called energy weighting methodologies. The third class, and so the question, well, let me continue. The third class of methods, really in a much more precise fashion, attempt to do what the second class of methods do, which is to identify by customer when the demand occurs and what portion of the production fleet that demand is drawing on. The baseload production facilities, intermediate or cycling facilities, or peaking facilities. And that's why they're called time differentiated. They're the most precise, I would say, in terms of these methods are distinguished by their precision. They still have to be adapted to the particulars of any individual utility.
Thank you. So the order that we just all looked at was from 1991. The system that we was being operated in 1991 was far different from the system today. Is that correct?
NSPs. And we have to be clear that what we're talking about is the operation of NSP's system as a whole.
Correct.
And, yes, it's very much different.
So does it stand to reason that we should be looking at taking a fresh look at the current factors at play with MISO and wind and all the new components that are being incorporated into the system and how we are assigning those costs to North Dakota customers?
Absolutely. That's my recommendation. The biggest change, Commissioner Kalk, you've several times mentioned that times change and circumstances change. The most significant change in NSP from a cost causation perspective is its entry into MISO. As Mr. Wisher was explaining, NSP doesn't actually make the decisions about whether its production is dispatched.
Mm-hmm.
I had a side conversation with him, and certain of the production facilities, the nuclear facilities, and I think he was saying most of the baseload facilities are what are called self-scheduled, and that's where NSP decides they're just going to run them, period. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what's happening in the market. And then they dispatch the rest of their facilities through MISO, but those facilities are being dispatched not in response to just the demand of NSP's customers, but the customers of all of the participants in MISO.
Right. So we heard a lot from the company that it would be very troublesome for them to have us change our allocation method when their other states are using this allocation method. So when could we ever do this then, if in that scenario where, you know, we're kind of sort of bound by what other states are doing because it puts the company in a box?
Let me give you a real world example to think about. PEPCO Holdings Incorporated, PHI, is structurally very similar to Xcel, has a number of operating subsidiaries, Potomac Electric Power Company, Atlantic City Electric, and Delmarva in Delaware. PEPCO spans the District of, the District of Columbia and Maryland jurisdictions. Delmarva spans the Delaware and Maryland jurisdictions. Right? So they, these are two subsidiaries, that two operating subsidiaries. You could compare them to NSP Minnesota. NSP was, you know, Wisconsin. I don't know whether they are multi-jurisdictional. In any event, for decades, Pepco has operated under one cost methodology, a non-coincident peak average and excess, and in Maryland under a 4CP methodology. I mean, it happens that you have two different cost allocation methodologies. And in addition, I can't remember whether it was you, Commissioner Fedorchuk, but someone asked, well, what's the effect of this? It can be that only 98% of the company's production assets, and then as things are allocated, get assigned to either jurisdiction. In fact, the practical consequence on Pepco in the District of Columbia and in Maryland has been that Pepco essentially assigns somewhat over 100% of its revenue requirement, as it were, to the two jurisdictions. As Mr. Brockett said, you don't know which way it's going to go.
But it's never going to be 100%. It's going to be less or more.
That would really depend on the interaction between the two methodologies that are utilized.
Okay. Okay. I think that concludes my questions.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you for your testimony. Just one question for you. Just the appears you don't like the transmission cost rider. You kind of give me just in a nutshell. I don't need all the – I mean, I've read all the other stuff. Just in a nutshell, what is the biggest thing you don't like about the transmission cost rider?
The biggest thing I don't like about the transmission cost rider is that I don't know everything about it. all I know is – conceptually how it'd be constructed and what the rate design basically would be of the surcharge.
Okay, and you referred to in your testimony that the company might be doing something later. So if you had more information about what they proposed it to look like, that might clarify your decision that you may support it if they had the answers?
I might well support it. I'm not opposed to trackers.
Okay.
On principle, I don't think there's any regulatory principle on which one should be opposed to trackers. But they have to be implemented very carefully because there's a great danger, particularly with investment riders, of the company over-recovering on its assets.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Christman.
Mr. Pavlicek, from what you know of the three jurisdictions in NSP Minnesota, would you expect that either of the other two jurisdictions might also benefit their ratepayers with a 1CP as opposed to a 12CP method?
You mean were NSPM to go to a 1CP method?
Right. Would that – apparently North Dakota ratepayers would benefit from it.
Well, they would benefit from it in the sense that I believe it is a more accurate estimate of, in fact, what North Dakota's cost responsibility.
Would that likely be the case with South Dakota or Minnesota or – I'm trying to gather whether one or the other might follow North Dakota's lead if North Dakota switched.
As I said earlier in my testimony, based on what I now know about the way NSPM operates, I think all the jurisdictions would benefit by going to a more precise allocation methodology. North Dakota is distinguished from the two other jurisdictions by the fact that it is winter peaking as opposed to the other. In recent time, it's been what you might call weekly winter peaking. But in fact, NSP's forecast for the test year was that North Dakota would once again be winter peaking in 2013. And that could that difference may be being I think it's likely that that difference is actually being captured in the 1CP, although very grossly. I'm not sure, in the sense of imposing it on the entire system, there's no question that North Dakota would benefit, as it were, to the expense of both of South Dakota and Minnesota. I mean, that's just the nature of the calculation.
How much would North Dakota, an individual North Dakota ratepayer, benefit? I mean, is this a lot of discussion over something that would be a couple pennies on a monthly bill? Or I haven't found any correlation between this change or what this change would do to a ratepayer.
I haven't calculated the impact of this change on the application. Mr. Mugrace has, in fact, I believe, and he estimated that it would be approximately that the change was approximately $3 million to, but I'm not certain about that.
Okay.
But it's a significant amount of money to the revenue requirement, and it would be a significant amount of money in terms of rates.
Okay, and then lastly, I want to rephrase something so I'm sure if I understood you right. Yesterday in our discussion of having one jurisdiction calculated under a different method than the others in this case, I clearly see NSP's point about how it's going to leave some dollars out there that aren't recovered. They're not going to come out to an exact total. When you talked about PEPCO before, like if the variation between jurisdictions with using different methods, if that's leaving the company 2% short, are they just figuring they need 102% and then using the methods in the various jurisdictions, calculating it out, and thus it leaves them almost right on 100%? Or did I misunderstand that?
It is, in fact, a little more complicated than that. What is actually being allocated are, well, in this case, NSP properly directly assigns all of the distribution investment, all of the distribution expenses that occur in North Dakota to North Dakota. Okay, that does not get allocated. So we're just talking about transmission and production. What actually gets allocated is production plant, that is the plant investment, the plant in service I I think it's proper to say that what in the end, although it's not direct, what gets allocated is rate base. And then what gets allocated, so the production rate base and the transmission rate base get allocated to the two or the three jurisdictions. Then, based on that allocation, and when they're operating on the jurisdictional level, using, in fact, the same allocator, NSP allocates production expenses and transmission expenses on the same base. The revenue requirement is, in fact, built on adjustments to rate base and allowance, disallowance, adjustment to expenses. So that, to talk, strictly speaking, and that's why I was careful to say what got, in the case of Pepco, gets over-allocated, ends up with Maryland calculating its revenue requirement for the Maryland Commission on the basis of 55% of the assets and the expenses, and Pepco in D.C. building its revenue requirement on a 46-47% allocation of the rate base and the expenses, which adds to 102%. That's where the shortfall or the overage is occurring on the basis of the revenue requirements base calculation of rate base and expenses. The revenue requirement is then built up by adjusting those numbers in each jurisdiction. You'd actually have to do a detailed analysis of NSP's revenue requirement approved in Minnesota and revenue requirement approved in North Dakota, South Dakota, to determine whether the company is, in terms of actual revenue requirement costs, over-recovering or under-recovering.
Thank you. I have no other questions.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Norell.
No, Your Honor, not this time.
This may be your last chance.
Fully understood.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Your Honor. I do have a few areas, but I think they'll go pretty quick.
Thank you.
Dr. Pavlovic, were you here yesterday when Mr. Brockett testified that the change from a 12 CP to a 1 CP would cost the company $20 million?
Yes, I heard him testify.
Do you have any basis of personal hand knowledge to dispute his estimate of the cost?
No, because I don't know what the basis of his cost was.
Thank you.
Mr. Mugrace might well calculate a different impact.
Now, you talked about, you had dialogue with respect to potential benefits from other states moving to a 1 CP. And let's assume for purposes of discussion that Mr. Brockett was correct and we're talking about a $20 million change here. If all of the other states adopt 1 CP, it's my understanding that subject to timing differences, the company's cost recovery will be 100%.
As I was just explaining to Commissioner Chrisman, the cost recovery on base rate base and expenses would be 100%. That doesn't speak to whatever adjustments are made in the two jurisdictions.
I appreciate that distinction. Let's assume that the adjustments are constant, so we have this $20 million number that's in play if Mr. Brockett's correct. So it would then stand to reason that if North Dakota's revenue requirement went down by $20 million, that $20 million would be shifted to either or both of South Dakota and Minnesota.
If I assume equal revenue requirements in all three jurisdictions, then that's exactly right.
Equal adjustments, I believe, correct?
Yeah, if you assume that you have exactly the same revenue requirements being calculated in both jurisdictions.
Now, you talked about PEPCO living in an environment where it uses different cost allocators in its different jurisdictions. And I believe you characterized that as something that has been going on, I believe it was for decades.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's gone on for decades.
That would suggest that there has been a period of stability of some duration for those PEPCO operating companies.
Well, in each jurisdiction, they've, in fact, enjoyed exactly the same stability that NSP says the 12CP has given them in this jurisdiction.
That is to say, each jurisdiction has consistently applied its cost allocator, and the PEPCO operating companies have not had to adjust to changes in the allocator.
That's correct.
Now, you had some discussion about the use of the 12CP in the context of 1991 as relates to 2013, thinking in the context of system changes, operational changes, what have you. You recall that?
Yes.
And you mentioned among the factors that have changed is the emergence of MISO as an entity in the Upper Midwest region.
Yes.
That MISO has been in place for quite a while, has it not? 10 years or so?
Quite possible, 10 years.
And NSP Minnesota, NSP has had three North Dakota rate cases, has it not, since 2007, plus this one?
That's my understanding.
And is it your understanding that in those prior three cases, the commission did, in fact, use the method proposed by the company in this case?
I believe the company used this method in its proposals in those cases. I believe those cases were settled.
Do you know of any adjustments to the company's proposals that arose in those cases?
No, I don't.
I don't have any other questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle.
I have two. They'll be quick. One follows up on this MISO discussion and changes in the system. As I was listening to your discussion with Commissioner Fedorchak on that, I was thinking, well, that's a good point, but I was also thinking that doesn't that make the 1CP even less appropriate, that the whole concept of the MISO doing the dispatching and all of that and moving those decisions away from the demands of just the NSP customers. I kind of thought the 1CP seemed to be contrary to the objective of that.
It would be remarkable if the 1CP turned out to be what we call a good estimator of a much more complicated situation. It's also entirely possible that this could be done much more accurately and the results would be close to the 1CP.
Okay. And might get there a different route. The results might be close. And I would like you to very summarily, please, because I know time is of the essence here, but staff was wondering what it was you heard that caused you to change your recommendation. What can you point to in a very summary fashion from the test?
Very summary. There, in the I was provided in discovery, and also there's a discussion of the cost of jurisdiction. There's a lengthy discussion of jurisdictional cost allocation in Schedule 12 of Ms. Oyer's testimony. There is no indication in any of that document that NSP does its system planning, taking into account the fact that it's operating in MISO and it's dispatching. I mean, there's just no indication whatsoever. All of that documentation just gives the impression that in NSP's estimation, the 12CP is a better is a better indication than the 1CP or any of these other things. If it comes to the question of selecting between a 1CP and amongst peak methods, the only criteria that are indicated as making the 12CP appropriate, there's no mention of any of that in any of the documentation that they plan to a particular reliability index, and there isn't significant variation in the monthly peaks. I mean, I know that NSP operates in MISO, but I don't know how they operate, and I don't know that they did their planning, taking all of these things into account.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Commissioner Fedorchik, any follow-up? Commissioner Kalk. Commissioner, is everyone just hungry? Mr. Norrell, anything further?
No.
I just have one. There was some concern expressed on the record about the accuracy with predicting the system peak using a 1CP method. Can that concern be addressed by looking at other years to help determine that?
Oh, the variability.
Yes.
Yes, it can. In addition, the variability of the actual... the most appropriate way to address that problem is to average in the adjustments that I recommended here. That's exactly what I did. I took the three-year average.
No further questions.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you. Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
Nothing, thanks.
From the commission, I believe Commissioner Christman has a question.
Thank you, Your Honor. I did think of one more. Sir, would there be logic, rather than adopting a 1CP method and using it and urging NSP then to come up with a more accurate method, would there be logic in continuing with the 12CP method but setting some date certain in the future, a year or two down the road, at which we transition into a 1CP method unless they have brought forward what we deem to be a more accurate method and that's been approved by us?
Well, the truth be told, you're asking me a question outside my expertise. I'm not a commissioner. I'm not a rate regulator. Yes, there would be merit in such an approach.
Thank you.
Any further questions from Mr. Norrell or?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Johnson? Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
No.
Any further questions from any of the commissioners? All right. Thank you. At this time, you are excused. And it is 12:30, and we will take an hour for lunch, so be back here at 1:30. Thank you.